Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian. America, we are a world at war. America, as it was always intended, was for ourselves and our posterity. Never forget that. You have reached the Radio Octagon. This is episode 72, the epic episode, and tonight's theme is the October surprise. The star date of October 14th, 2021. Remember that you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. It's time to suit up, America. It is time. The shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate made of armor and righteousness. The problem today is that our communistic Congress and lawmakers don't really care in the least of what they do or what laws they pass, because they always exempt themselves from the same laws, and they are not bound by the laws they pass. An important lesson from history every American should know. Now write this down. America's war for independence was, in many cases, a revolution and a rebellion against the British Crown. But it was mainly this last thing that they failed to tell you in high school or remedial history in college. It was a resistance to tyranny. In 1776, the American Revolution was mainly a resistance to tyranny of the Redcoats, on top of being a revolution or a rebellion. So don't let the American dream become a nightmare, my friends. Once again, it's a dark and stormy night across the land, across many parts of America. And every Thursday night, we meet here at the Von Wiehunt Show. I broadcast from my studio deep in the mountains of Arizona, like a Gothic castle. We will stand the test of time. This is Pirate Talk Radio from the underground of real America, from the gridirons of America, from the ranches, the farms, the country, the big cities, the small towns, and everything in between, including the newly forming RV parks that are spreading up all over the country, springing up everywhere with people who are homeless or looking for work. This is the show your mother warned you about. We will talk about current events, geopolitics, history. We'll play some great music. We will get together at the Viking bonfire tonight. You just tuned in. This is not, I repeat, not mainstream Rhino corporate radio, which many of you are very used to listening to. It's all watered down. It's nothing but RNC talking points. Now, nothing wrong with the talking points of the RNC or other politicians per se. But our show goes deeper down the rabbit hole than all those combined. We'll talk about anything and everything. Everything on every show is on the table. We would have it no other way. If you're a new caller tonight, you get in front of the line by dialing 563-999-3437, our VIP line. The torch and bonfire is lit in America. And again, you can reach me after the monologue, 563-999-3437. Now, many in the know from our intelligentsia in America and Pentagon and other places say the conventional wisdom is that China is coming for us. Well, they are. We've talked about that on my show for years. This is nothing new. Now, to some shows on your alphabet stations, it's a new revelation to them. I have the smartest callers by far. We are the tip of the spear. Now, there's many good shows out there. We're not knocking them because we're all in this together. We all want to support our fellow hosts and shows. And now, most shows, you won't hear that. It's the host talking about their ego and their bravado and how great their show is and that they never listen to any other shows. And by God, their show is the best, the biggest, the most outlandish show, right? Well, we're not trying to be the biggest show. We're not trying to have millions of fake listeners, or fake followers on Twitter. That's not my game. Our game is to be the best show, the tip of the spear, if you will, the elite show, pirate radio from the underground of America. And we are the leader of the pack. We are often imitated. I hear my catchwords, buzzwords, and slogans now being uttered by top name talent on many radio shows. I swear to God, their program directors right now are listening. We know who they are. We have all the addresses on the computer, really very deep and very knowledgeable computer system that collects all data. Our studio board is just utterly amazing. But that's fine. I want them to listen because they might learn something. But on my show, there's no program director telling me or the callers what to say. That, my friends, is a distinction that you need to make. On most shows you listen to, they have a hired program and director who will censor and monitor and tell the host, we better not go down that road. We better not say that. We might get in trouble with our, drum roll please, sponsors. Our sponsors might get their nose tweaked. They might be upset, so we have to water it down. And that, my friends, is the supreme distinction between my show and their shows. But we're glad they're out there. We support our fellow brethren in media and radio and bloggers if they're of the same mindset as this show. Now, China is coming for America. And I've told you for years to get prepared. We don't know what's going to happen at when or what time. EMP attack could be lightly. It could be conventional warfare where millions of troops pour over the border in Mexico and Canada by some surprise land invasion, so Red Dawn America, like the movie. But just get prepared for anything, any eventuality. Right now, this is clown world in politics, locally, statewide, nationally, and especially internationally. The clown world is upon us. It's amazing. Now, many in America right now think that by abandoning the U.S. Constitution, that they and that they are the only enlightened ones to think that way, and they believe by abandoning our coveted U.S. Constitution that they will become more advanced, that America will become more advanced, more in the quote-unquote digital age, yada, yada. But in reality, you see, what will become of America and Americans with a K, K for effect, is that we will become less advanced and more primitive as America descends into a third world country status. And that is where we are headed today, with a few rich, the middle class largely gutted, and a huge poverty base, a huge homeless base. As more and more people get displaced, or they get hooked on the drugs that are being pushed into every neighborhood in this country. I've told you before that drug dealers should be executed for poisoning the country, for it. It's a form of attack on the country and the American people. And that is how I feel about that. You can take that to the bank, as they say. We're no longer that shining city on the hill that everyone used to look up to. We're descending rapidly, imploding on our own national debt, on our own weight. Now, the airline pilots this past week are telling corporate America to shove it, as they should, and that they will not fly their planes with a vaccine mandate. Good for them. I saw one Southwest pilot who had the "Don't Tread on Me" flag draped out of his cockpit, as they are sending a message loud and clear to the morons and the lemmings in corporate America who are following Biden and then who follow each other like lambs going to slaughter. They are complete idiots in corporate America. I should know. I have worked for them for years off and on. So I know most people in middle management to upper management don't have a freaking clue. And they are running companies where they are putting out stupid mandates. They're trying to act like President Biden or his assistant, and they're getting shut down left and right. Well, shut it all down. Why the hell not? America is sick of this, and we will not tolerate any tyranny in our midst. We're not Australia. We're not New Zealand. By the way, New Zealand's gone dark. Our radio signal cannot reach New Zealand. Adern has completely blocked us out of that country. We're not Canada, our northern neighbor. We're not the UK or Europe, who have given up their gun rights decades ago. But we're not them. We have revolutionary blood in our veins. America was founded by the gun. If you don't believe that, then reread your history. We were founded in revolution and resistance to tyranny. And nothing will change in the future. You have reached the Von Wien Show. We are here for you every Thursday night. We play music from our ancestors as well. music from our ancestors is always played on the show. Now, just remember, America, that the evil New World Order loves death and destruction and funerals of all shapes and sizes. They're trying to kill you. They have a depopulation agenda. The New World Order is nothing but a satanic depopulation death cult. Now, I tell folks, yes, I am a proud conspiracy theorist. I believe men and women of wealth and power conspire. If you don't think so, then you are what is called an idiot in society. If you believe everything you see on TV, you are an idiot. The mainstream news is fake news, been proven to be so. Not all of it, but a large chunk of it. If you believe stuff but you fear the label, then you are also what is called a coward. Never forget that. And while that's going on, we have 75,000 Haitians come into our border. The COVID hoax and craziness goes on. So let me get this straight, America. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the so-called protected. What the hell are we doing to this country? More idiocracy by the day. It's just amazing to me. We went from the era of that guy there in Florida who said, "Don't tase me, bro," to the era of, "Give me that shot, bro." What the F happened to you, America? There are days when I'm not sure I even know who you are anymore. America, we talked about on the last show, is in La La Land. La La Land right now is a good place to be on one level because our stores are still stocked with food for the time being. You can still drive around. America is not in lockdown mode like a lot of the world. We can still get our supplies and we can prep and get ready. And sometimes we enjoy this. It's the calm before the storm. It's the lull, if you will, before the thunder and lightning, before the storm hits. But our nation is also in peril. This is what the satanic elites want for America. We want to prove them wrong. Let's prove them dead wrong yet again, my friends. And always remember what the elite said many times in recent years. They said in their symposiums and their foundations and their UN and their EU, if you listen to what they say, they have said, "You will own nothing and you will be happy." That is the agenda of the United Nations. That is Agenda 2030. And don't let them get away with impoverishing you and your family. For if you let them win, then they will enslave America and the world forever. And once that happens, there will be absolutely no turning back. I'm telling you. America is the last bastion of freedom and liberty and an armed population in the world. We are on the chopping block. We are on the table. They know damn well they cannot implement their nefarious, evil, satanic plans without taking down America. We are the big elephant in the room. We are the big obstacle with 400 million guns and 100 million plus patriots in the country and millions upon millions of war vets with recent, very recent combat experience. So we have a lot of good things going for us. Remember, we are the resistance. It's not the left, it's the right. It's the middle, independent, and right wing of the country. We are the real resistance to tyranny. The left wing is the are the people who want to impose tyranny. They like control. They believe in government edicts. Their altar of God, their God, if you will, is the federal government. They don't believe in real God for the most part. Many of them are atheists or agnostic, or they are into all kinds of things. But their whole God, their whole concept of morality comes from the federal government. And by God, that is what they want to impose on you. They're not going to leave you alone. They're not going to leave you be. The left mind, the militant leftist mindset is this. They want to take your nose and shove it in whatever dish they put in front of you. That is their mindset. They do not at all want to leave you alone because they want to control you, control what you eat, control what you see on TV, control your politics, control your vote. And if you don't do what they say, they will turn around, which they've already done, and they've proven to us their true motives, and they've said, you are a domestic terrorist. If you don't take the kill shot, if you don't kowtow to us, if you don't do what we say, you are a domestic terrorist. Well, Biden's the domestic terrorist. The Democrat Party are domestic terrorists with BLM and Antifa and all kinds of weird groups, subgroups, trying to stir up trouble in this country. Remember, the elites who are demonic, they want to demoralize you, America. They want to bring you down to their level. Don't let them. Don't let these turkeys get you down. Don't let them demoralize you. Outthink them. Outmaneuver them. We will outfight them. Now, on Gab, any of you can found me there. We're glad that you found me there on Gab. It's the great, uncensored platform, and I encourage you all to have an account there and go there. You'll find the Von Wiegand Show under this banner, Barbarian Talk Radio for the American people in the world, speaking truth to power, the Jedi Master of geopolitics, the Apollo Sun God with Thor by my side, magical runes light the path. I'm your galactic historian. And the more they try to destroy us, the more powerful we will become. Broadcasting from my mountain stronghold in a galaxy far, far away. Yes. Gab, GAB.com. Check it out. Now, Americans, in the future, it has been said, will be quarantined to militarized districts. I believe the elites will have a false flag attack on American soil. At some point, it has to be something big. You've got to understand the leftist mindset again. They knew that 9/11 shook you to the core. There's all kinds of speculation about 9/11. I'm not going to go there right now. But they know that to really get America fearful, to make you fear your own shadow, to make you feel compelled to obey and to be compliant, keyword, with all government regulations and edicts of the future, they have to do something big in this country. Now, God forbid if anything happens. We're the peace-loving crowd. We don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. I don't care who they are. We don't. But the left does, in the sense that the rhetorical question was, would the left detonate a nuclear bomb or do something so heinous or crazy or satanic to America to get control of the country, to usher in maybe gun confiscation coast to coast? Would they unleash a biological terror weapon, COVID times 10, let's say? Would they do something crazy in this hour where they can almost sense and they're salivating, they're foaming at the mouth of trying to seize full spectrum control over America, over the citizens, over the right wing, over those damn MAGA Trump supporters, over those deplorables, the dregs of society, they call everyone who isn't a militant leftist. Well, in my war game mind, I have war game this, and the answer is an unequivocal yes. I believe the militant left would do literally anything because their mindset is the ends justify the means. Their version of loving America is loving control over you. That's the America they love, is the government. Washington, D.C. is their altar. That's why they were so fumed when there was literally a panty raid with some sporadic violence on January the 6th. If you want to see a real insurrection, we'll show you a real insurrection. But that was not a real insurrection. That was a political rally that got out of control. Now, at political rallies, do people get hurt? Yes, they have it throughout history, in America's history too. But I believe the militant left is so deranged. It's not just Trump derangement syndrome. It's everything in between. They are truly unhinged. And they can just sense that control. They don't want it to slip out of their fingers. I think at a critical moment in our history, I think that strange things could happen. God forbid, we don't want it to be. We do not wish for any mayhem in the country. We hope the country stays peaceful. And we hope to dodge these bullets. We hope to dodge these landmines that are placed on the ground. But we can only navigate so far and so much. At some point, like the old saying goes, something has got to give. And in politics, I've always had the strong belief that nothing happens by chance in the political world. Things are planned, and we hope that any nefarious plans do not materialize. But we know that what they want is a population ripe for tyrannical control, fear-mongering, terrorism, a police state. They want martial law. They want war and arrests at 3 o'clock in the morning, internment. They want your door broken in at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock, the dead of night. They want hunger, oppression. They want to demoralize you. They want violence. And they want to tell you that resistance is futile. These are the new terms by which the leftist Americans, and many Americans, in fact, will define their future existence. Neighbor will be pitted against neighbor as the value of the dollar plunges to zero. Food supplies may be depleted with our supply chain problems. And everyone in Biden's America is a terror suspect. Why? Because the Democrats say so. And then there will be arrests, disappearances, bioattacks, maybe even public executions, God forbid, of those even suspected of dissent. Who knows? The future is uncertain, as they say, but the end is always near, right? Even rumors of FEMA concentration camps on American soil run rampant on the internet, in Walmart stores, and it's true. This is the backdrop to an unfolding story of resistance. American militias prepare daily for guerrilla warfare in the future with friend or foe alike. Their amassed affections for the military as true patriots attempt to rally around the Constitution and defend our liberties. They are prepared for war, of course. And there's a national insurgency, could be in the future, against corrupt or illegal orders and or UN or federal forces following illegal orders. And knowing this full well, it will be the last time in history that the oppressed peoples in America or elsewhere would be capable, even remotely capable, of any kind of organized resistance to tyranny. Right now in America, enjoy the good times while they last. I hope they always last. But we're also in a time of transition, I think, of shifting alliances, if you will, of a mass awakening, the woke movement, things of that nature. We have an impending storm coming to America. It's going to be, I told friends of mine many times, that you may wake up in the morning, you may turn on the radio at 6 a.m., and AM radio has the best news in the morning, and my show too. But you may turn on the radio or the TV, and you may see something totally crazy. This show, maybe a few others, will immediately come to your mind, and you'll will finally realize that, by God, Von Wiehunt was right. Here we are. Unbelievable. You may wake up to foreign troops in the streets, UN, or Chinese, other groups, in a case of martial law or the dollar collapsing. We've had decades of good times in America, and we want the good times to roll. We think positive on our show. I keep telling folks, let's deflect and keep kicking the can down the road as long and as far as we can, because we know one thing. Once that can cannot be kicked anymore and the door is kicked in, it's game time. And our lives will dramatically change forever. Americans have had overcomfort, plenty of cash, and complacency for years. I told you before that most Americans are just happy to have their pizza and beer. And they'll tell you, don't wake me up. I don't care until it affects me directly. Those same Americans someday may wake up to an occupied homeland. The time of lists. Just the other day, Senator Rand Paul said that there are lists being compiled of political dissidents on the right by the Biden-Harris-Fauci regime. You've heard the blacklist, the whitelist, and other lists, and those still caught in the middle. There are people who will risk physical death or their jobs for free will, self-determination, freedom, and liberty. And there will also be those that you will see, people that might even surprise you, that will sell their souls to maintain their idle thoughts and easy comforts, Netflix, hot pizza, a cold beer. Nothing wrong with that, but in this gray state of matter that America is in, your perpetuation of your life and of human freedom and liberty will be challenged and will be contested, and they will contest it and challenge it daily as they want to crush it. They want to crush your life that you even enjoy now. What they want is a slave state. What they want is martial law. What they want is to take the guns away from America and to march Americans to slaughter or forced labor or all these FEMA camps around the country. Now, I can tell you a lot of things that arms have been built up within the government under Obama. He militarized and weaponized almost every federal department. We've seen article upon article of that all in the internet, on the news. There's been a big buildup of arms within the U.S. government, and it has definitely accelerated in recent years, even before Trump, of course. And you ask yourself, why do all these governmental agencies, why are they arming themselves with machine guns and millions of arms? The Department of Homeland Security has purchased 2.2 billion rounds of ammo, acquired 2,700 armored personnel carriers, has 100,000 armed enforcement agents, and has acquired thousands upon thousands of military vehicles ready for use. Almost every department of the government, from the U.S. Postal Service to the Social Security Administration to the National Weather Service, no joke, all, I repeat, all have purchased weapons, immense amounts of ammo, and they have all developed their own governmental SWAT teams. Why do they need this unless they expect to have a war on their hands? I've told you before that the government will do anything to stay in power, anything, capital letters, anything to stay in power. Never forget that they will tax you into poverty so they can eat, so they can stay in power. Indefinite detention is now legal. The National Defense Authorization Act was passed by Congress, allowing the arrest and imprisonment of an American citizen on U.S. soil without habeas corpus. And you can now be held indefinitely without due process. This one act is usually the first thing that's taken away with any new or impending martial law, and it's already gone with that defense act. So a lot going on, folks. We have a lot to talk about tonight. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We're so glad you're here tonight on the Von Wiehand Show. Welcome to the great radio show, the infamous, the rogue, the legendary Von Wiehand Show. Cult radio like no other. We're glad you're here. Go to the phones here. Let's get a caller on here. Hello, you're on the Von Wiehand Show. What's your name? Are you there? Going once, going twice. Well, I don't think they're there. We'll hang up on them. Let's get to this other caller here. Is it the Gunslinger?
Yeah, well,
are you there? Yeah, how's it going, Gunslinger?
Yeah,
you're from Texas, man. What's happening? I'm doing good. Doing really good.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, kind of getting some rain there, much-needed rain here in Texas. It's been kind of a little dry. Probably Arizona's probably dry, too. But what you talking about earlier about the Southwest Airlines and the pilots and everything, these people lie. Their CEO, it's not the pilots now. I'm all for the pilots and the ground crew and the stewardess and all that, okay? It's the main, the top of the totem pole, as the old saying goes. They lied because they said it weather-related because they had to cancel all those flights. Yeah, right. I will introduce you to Santa Claus and we'll sell you the San Francisco Bridge and I'll even throw in a maintenance contract if you believe that crap.
Right.
There was no, you could go on FlightAware, which tracks all the flights all throughout the United States and the world, too, for that matter. And there was no inclement weather anywhere, okay? They lied. Now, this is what this is going to do. This is going to start probably the economic meltdown, okay? Because if all these people are quitting, if you got to take the jab, well, no, you don't, because it's a free country. That's why they're standing up, okay? Everything, let's take the airlines, regardless of Southwest or American Airlines or any of them. If them birds are not in the air, they're not making money, and things are not moving. They just don't necessarily carry passengers. They carry cargo, too, okay? And if them things are not moving, okay, okay, and then all of a sudden now maybe the train people will start wising up and say, hey, we're walking off the job too. Well, look at all
it's
the
already happened. Amtrak has walked out just last week.
Yeah,
sure they did.
There you go. Yeah, and everybody
already
else
happened.
will follow that. So now everything comes to a grinding halt. The whole thing that Sniffy Joe, Sleepy Joe and the hoe has done is now backfiring on them, just like I knew it would, okay? Because people are not going to stand for this, you know, being turned into a guinea pig over something that has not been through the stages, the proper stages. I'm not telling rushing through something, okay? The proper stages. I said this before, and it takes anywhere from 10 to 15 years to thoroughly do a vaccine and make sure that it's safe. I've said before, they can't even get out of stage 2 testing, and that's on the animals, because they're killing the animals.
Right.
Okay? And this is totally ludicrous. I mean, I can't blame them, and I support them 100%. And, we ought to start sending a sign to, say, Southwest Airlines saying, be sure and stock up on your going out of business signs, because you're going to need them. Okay, you're going to need them.
Right.
This insanity that's what they're on track. Okay, and you know it's already being proven that you know the COVID cases are actually going down. Okay, and now this coming out that the vaccinated people are more could give you COVID-19 than the unvaccinated people. Get your pipe and smoke. This is insanity. It has totally, completely did a 360 on these people, and it's biting them in the butt right now. And it's going to get worse.
Oh, I know.
Okay? Until people wise up, you cannot be coerced into taking something that could be possibly seriously injure your health. Okay? I've said it before. You know, this vaccine, it could be a trigger mechanism, just like my gun has a trigger on it. Okay, you pull that hammer back, the hammer represents the vaccine, and all it takes is a little bit of pressure on that trigger, and wham, what happens when the trigger or when the hammer falls? Well, that missile is launched, and you can't recall it back. You can't say, come here, Mr. Bullet, come here, I made a mistake, come here, get back in the gun. Don't work that way.
Exactly.
It's the same way. they jab your rear end or whatever, you ain't taking that stuff out. It's in you, period. And there's no telling. You may not drop dead tomorrow. I don't know. But it could be a trigger mechanism to trigger things that are already in your body. You know, like cancer, for example. Whatever triggers cancer. Could it be a cancer cell? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But there's something that triggers cancer in the human body. Well, this vaccine could very well do the same thing. It could be the trigger mechanism, not necessarily a mechanical, but a living thing trigger. So you got to take that into consideration, too. These people, well, they may be a little smart, but they're not God. They're not that smart. If they were that smart, they would have already had a vaccine for cancer, Alzheimer's, muscular dystrophy, everything that aches and pains mankind, they would have had a cure for it. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, they get this. I find that very suspicious. Same way I find that Building 7 in New York on 9/11 fell and the damn thing wasn't even hit. But they call us conspiracy theorists. Well, wait a minute. That's not a conspiracy theory.
It was a controlled demolition of Building 7. You can see the puffs of smoke in those videos of the controlled demolition. Never hit by a quote-unquote plane or missile.
But
I don't believe anything the media says about a lot of things. And I tell people, don't always believe what you see either or what you read.
That's right.
Because the media, they have experts, special effects people from Hollywood that can make you believe anything. 9/11 was designed to get America into the Middle East and these Middle East wars, and it accomplished its goal.
Absolutely.
Just left Afghanistan after 20 years.
Well, remember that these famous people that made of magic, magicians, okay? Remember that David Copperfield, I think it was, he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. Did it really disappear?
Mm-hmm.
No. He made that big old 747 disappear. Did it disappear? No, we're not recreating the Philadelphia experiment, okay, today.
Right.
Okay, well, maybe. Okay, but
what they're very good about is bending reality and your perception.
That's right. Back years ago when I was doing electrical work, I wanted to do laser imaging systems. And there was a company, I think it was in Dallas or somewhere, that the name of it was Sumistar Laser Imaging Systems. And the fantastic things that they could do, this was back in the late 80s now, okay? They could project things into the air, and you would swear to God they were real airplanes.
Right
there, like it's, please, and it looks 100% real, but it was only a laser impression. What do you think they can
That's
do
right.
now? And even 9/11, even 2001. What do you think they could do then? So you've got.
I always tell people this. I'm not quite sure what happened on 9/11. I can damn well tell you this. I do not believe in the official government story. I do not believe in that one iota. Now, are there parts of it? Did they compartmentalize that event, that mission to take down the World Trade Center, to usher America into 20, 30, 40, 50 years of extra war? Sure they might have, and sure they probably did. But I just know that the World Trade Center is no longer there. And, of course, Building 7 is now a monument, right? But I'm not quite sure what exactly happened. I think that there were a lot of nefarious actors on that day. I'll put it that way. And a lot of intelligence agencies knew about this. So I'll leave it at that into your imagination. But the more you dig, the more you learn, right? It's amazing how they put these things out there. And There's a new one being planned. I know there is. I feel it. And it's going to be bigger than 9/11. They've got to do something to usher in their agenda, 30, their UN plans. They have to. It's on the table. It's on their – they have told you to your face, America, that by 2030, in 9 years, they want certain things to happen. Agenda 2030, we talked about it last week. We'll talk about it again. Go online, read it. UN plan, which Biden and the Democrat Party totally embrace. And that's what they want. Go ahead, Gunslinger.
Oh, absolutely. That's what the New World Order, okay, that's what they want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This was an experiment. 9/11 was an experiment, okay? Like I said, I'm a very technical person, and when I seen that, I said, wait a minute. Look, back up the freight train, Gus. Something is wrong with this, okay? There's too many, and the more you dig, the more unanswered questions that they don't want to address. Well, if it's such a big deal, then why won't they address these questions? Okay, that's why they don't, because they know that something else happened. Yeah, they disappeared. Yeah, they blew up. They collapsed or whatever. Okay, but there's more. You know, the old saying goes, there's more than one way to skin a cat, Texas saying. Okay, so there's more to this story. There's more to the Pentagon. There's more to the flight over, was it Philadelphia or whatever it was out there. There's more to all of those. Because none of them makes any sense based upon other airplane crashes that have happened over the decades, okay? Completely blows them away, okay? Completely. I mean completely. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To how those airplanes, supposedly airplanes, whatever, okay, could have hit those buildings, could have hit the Pentagon and done all that damage, completely blows all other aircraft crashes out the window because it was entirely
yeah.
new thing. What do we do? Would we just change physics here or something? I don't think so. Okay. We can't change.
It's new physics, Gunslinger.
Yeah, it's a new way.
It's new physics.
Yeah, right.
New so age physics, I will call it new age. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, new age. There you go. New age physics, but that's totally impossible. That's saying that gravity doesn't exist. Okay, well, go out there and jump off a 50-story building, and you tell me as you're screaming down to your death that gravity doesn't exist, okay, when you splatter down there on that sidewalk. Oh, wait a minute. Gravity does exist because you splattered on the sidewalk. So that is physics. That is logic. Okay, but there's people out there that will see the evidence, can see it with their own two eyes, but still deny it that it ever happened. Oh,
sure.
You're just a conspiracy. You're full
because
of crap.
Because it's called cognitive dissonance. It goes against their mental programming. Gunslinger, thank you so much for calling the show, man. Appreciate you, bud.
Catch you later. All right.
You bet. Stay strong out there. Appreciate that. Always good to hear from the Gunslinger in Texas. Now, we have some, looks like some new callers here from our studio board. When I get to your phone line and call on you, step up to the plate. Let's see if these people will chime in tonight. Let's see what they have to say. You're on the Von Wien Show. What is your name and where are you from? Line one. Are you there?
Cacao Kelly.
Cacao Kelly. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
I
hey,
thought that
going?
Might have been you. How are you doing?
Well, I apologize. I missed my first chance because I didn't get to my phone soon enough. But I called back in
I'm
just
pretty
on the
quick.
Off chance. Yeah, you are quick, let me tell you. But, yeah, in the Valley of Arizona. All right. That's where I'm
nice,
at.
Nice, nice. I know. I see your East Valley area code, love it, 480. So what are your thoughts tonight? What's going on, Kelly?
What's going on? Well, what isn't
what
going
happened?
On is actually the question.
I know.
Okay.
What
I mean,
would you like
we
to
have
talk
all
about?
These people. Well, I think leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody out that's providing leadership, the correct leadership, to the people?
Yeah,
and,
we had to show it. We are providing leadership and solutions on a daily basis to the rank and file in America. Yes, we are. We do take that mantle.
Well, you are,
yes.
But what are we doing to get more people to your show or to other websites or, you know, what are we doing?
I told everyone, I have an answer for you. I told everyone, Kelly, that everyone needs to tell 10, 20 people verbally, people that you know about the show. Go on Facebook. Go on your social media. Mention, hey, are you a listener to the Von Wien Show? Have you heard about it? And they might have said yes or whatever. Tell them about the show. Word of mouth advertising is the most powerful still in America. So, yeah, that's solution.
Mm-hmm. I take it a step further because the people I know, they're too busy to look it up themselves and go on it. So it's like, okay, well, let me come over or you come over to my place, whatnot, and we'll listen to it together. And then that way I know for sure that, you know, they've actually listened to it for one thing. And then if need be, we talk about what's been discussed on the show.
Love that. Get together with friends, get some adult beverages, put it on the internet, crank it up, tune in and tune out to the outside world and tune into this show, and they'll have a blast. They are then part of the Von Wehunt army. Our army, our legions are growing. Seriously, I've called it the Von Wehunt army for years. We are strong. We are armed. Armed with the truth and armed with weaponry. We're all over the world. We're in 15 countries. And we're actually, this platform that I designed actually and launched is actually far more powerful than my platform at KFNX in Phoenix. So this is a fantastic platform. We're reaching really a ton more people, millions. And when you call the show, you're heard in 15 countries. Not to mention our podcast. I see a lot of people grabbing the show in my, you know, show studio data. They're grabbing it not live like right now. They're grabbing it later, too, multiple times. So, look, it's phenomenal. So, carry on. Yeah, I love it.
Well, it's just, and to go beyond that, I mean, what are we doing, you know, at work to be leaders, to, you know, head on this fight that we're fighting here. I mean, what are we doing within our communities to keep the spirit alive towards tyranny, or, you know, against tyranny and everything? So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can actually come together and do. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's lots of organizations out there that are doing kind of that, but I see them actually tearing apart America more than actually bringing it together, you know, in those cases. So, you know, the ones that they always have the protests and everything like that, which I'm not saying is bad.
Right.
It is good. It just depends on what they're, you know, protesting for and, you know, what are their reward for doing that protest, really, in some cases? You know, is it monetary? Is it, you know, are they getting paid off? I mean, basically, because we've had riots go across the country, but it wasn't even the people who lived in that, you know, city who was even rioting or protesting, you know, so it's like strange to me. You know,
I agree
how,
with you. It is strange. Well, the local school boards have cranked up,
leaders?
Haven't they? If you have kids in school, go to your local school board and raise some hell, you know?
Oh, yeah, school board. But the schools are basically prisons now here in Arizona. I mean, they've totally fenced them in and everything. And, you know, my question is, what if somebody on the inside has a gun? I mean, and this has already happened in one state where after Columbine, all the schools decided to put up, you know, fencing and everything. But it's like, then there was one shooting at a high school where the kids couldn't get out because it was fenced in. It's like, man, people are retarded.
They are,
and they were
shot down.
They were shot down trying to get over the fence that was put in place to try and keep them safe.
Terrible.
It is.
It is terrible. There's so many tragic stories that are out there. We have one here in the Valley that you probably heard about, Kelly, where the ladies was she stopped to go hiking, and here at Thompson Peak in Scottsdale, basically, and a guy came out with a baseball bat at random and just attacked her. Did you hear about that?
I think I did end up hearing about that.
Yeah. And my point to all of you is, I don't care where you go or what part of town you live in, or, you know, you better have your head on a swivel, because American society and Canadian society and all over the world society, doesn't matter where you hail from, people are going nuts, and they're getting crazier and crazier. This was just a short story to deviate for a moment here. This was a lady who stepped out to go hiking and was attacked by a madman with a baseball bat. She's in serious injuries in the hospital. They've arrested the man for second-degree murder, and his female accomplice was then screaming at the people that were trying to fend him off of the victim. Unbelievable story. But they've both been arrested, the man and the woman. Thank God they caught him. But my point is, there's a lot more of those people that are nuts, and then they wonder. They have the gall to wonder why we're armed, why we have guns in our homes, why people conceal carry, because of nutcases like this. And just wait till the dollar collapses. Wait till we have a real serious issue. God forbid, an economic implosion or an EMP attack, or even something even more minor, just say we have a biological attack or more COVID crap, coming out down the pike. People are going to go nuts. You know what I mean? So,
they're
prepared and know your surroundings, Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So, and people get desperate during those times. And, the case with a woman getting basically batted to death. I'm curious for the question of, was he on any type of drugs? Were there any drugs in his system? Because there are some drugs out that cause a zombie-like effect, and that they will go out and they will attack people, even to the point of, biting appendages off of them and everything. So, my question is, what was he on?
We don't know yet. I'm going to find out. And we're going to talk about it. I mean, they're sorting out this whole tragic episode, and they're, of course, doing their, they're starting to get information. So this just happened a few days ago, so it's still a very fresh story. But our show will definitely follow this. Trust me. Kelly, thanks so much for calling the show tonight. What are your final thoughts to America? What are your final thoughts?
Be prepared.
Absolutely.
You need to be prepared for everything. So, have your guns, have your water, your food storage, your, escape from chaos, and just be prepared.
I love that. Folks, Chakel Kelly calling from somewhere in the valley. Her exact location will not be divulged ever. I thank you so much for calling the show. Thank you, Kelly.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Good night. Take care. Yes, love to hear from her and our esteemed guests. Let's get to one more call here, but right after a few messages here from our promos.
I saw them out there, Henry, and this is about it. This is about all I can take.
Yes, sir. Understand that they're getting uppity outside. They're trying to break in.
All right. Where did G. Gordon go? Did you see him?
Said something about laying down the law.
Laying down the law. That's good. What?
Something about going outside where he was meeting up with protester rioters to take a law's rocket and blow up their black tour bus. So they might probably have to take public transit after that.
That's not a bad idea at all. They should be taking public transit. We should kick them off that bus, too. Good work. I say that's capital for Mr. Liddy. On track.
Yes, sir.
Go out and give him a hand if you want, and I'll be right there, mister. I'm just getting tuned up. Let me turn on the radio to Von Weehunt right now.
Yes, and you all heard about Captain Kirk being blasted off into space, boldly going where he has been before on TV many times. Star Trek would never be the same. Captain Kirk is a legend in TV folklore. He sounds a little bit like
Stardate this. 24.76.5. We've been here on the surface of the planet for a couple of days now, with awaiting the Starfleet fuel merchants to make it by so that we can update our fuel card and get fuel for the USS Enterprise. Spock has been working on the radio transmitter so that we can receive and understand messages. So far, we have received messages and radio waves that have given us a man called Von Weehunt, who is on the radio. Is that correct, Spock?
That's totally logical, Captain.
Thank you, Spock. Yes, belabor the obvious. It's the Von Weehunt Show. It's on right now. So tune in, as we will be.
Love that. Let's get some more calls here. They are stacked up. I love it. Well, you're on the Von Weehunt Show. What's your name? Are you there?
Hello?
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 You're live on the show. What's your name?
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were talking to me. This is Johnny Utah.
Johnny Utah. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. Buddy Lincoln.
Awesome, man.
I was talking to him earlier, and he said he was telling me about your show, and said he's a regular caller and give you a shout, and said you were talking a little bit about 9/11.
Yeah, we talk about everything on this show. Nothing is off limits. And glad you called, man. First-time callers always get on the line. And, yeah, Lincoln's a great guy, and appreciate you listening and being out there. Is this the first show you've ever listened to?
Well, I mean, what do you mean as far as, like, radio? I mean, I've been, you know, been around
a while.
I mean,
like, the first – is this the first – episode of the Von Weehunt Show that you've listened to?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. Well, we can we'll break in, and I'm so glad that you call. I'm sure as Lincoln told you a lot of great things. This show is not censored in the sense that we can talk about anything, man. So 9/11 that you brought up was quite the event, right? And where would you like to talk about that tonight?
Well, he just kind of, I didn't hear what you were saying on it. He just said you don't believe the official narrative. A lot of people know it was an inside job. A lot of truthers know about mm-hmm. the tower that came down, controlled demolition, everything around it was, just doesn't make any sense. The one thing that people don't really know is who did it. Okay. They said, yeah, it was an inside job, but nobody like gets to like who did it. Well, one thing that's a matter of public record is Israeli Mossad agents were caught on the day of 9/11 celebrating at the, I think it was the George Washington Bridge. They were caught celebrating.
That's right.
With explosives in their van.
That's right.
And they were arrested.
That's true.
And released a few weeks later in Israel. So
that's true. Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, and Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel benefited greatly from 9/11.
They
now,
sure
how did.
Did
they benefit? How did they benefit? We fought their wars. The Greater
That's
Israel
right.
Project, that is their plan that they've
That's
had
right.
for over 100 years with the start of Zionism from Theodore Herzl in the late 1800s. Was his vision for the Greater Israel Project for the Jews to have a homeland and expand in the Middle East from the Euphrates down to the Nile River. So where Israel started now, they're just in a never-ending expansion mode. And the United States military, we are their attack dog in the Middle East. We fight their wars with our sons and daughters' blood.
That's right.
You know, go into Afghanistan, Iraq. We fund ISIS in Syria. Obama is nothing but a puppet and a war criminal, a traitor who funded ISIS to overthrow Assad, which thankfully they did not. We fund terrorists. We basically Al-Qaeda is a CIA database. So we create all kinds of hell in the Middle East to keep Muslims infighting while Israel just uses their divide and conquer strategy to just completely just rule the Middle East and keep expanding. They are the terrorists. Israel and the United States military are the biggest terrorists on the planet.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, yeah. I'm sorry, go, yeah. Keep on talking, Johnny.
Well, I was just going to say, they have convinced us that Israel is our greatest ally, and they're just these innocent little meek victims in the Middle East, and we have to just protect them at all costs from these terrorists, you know, the war on terror propaganda, the George Bush, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, neocon propaganda. And they still have Americans believe in it. Not to say Muslims are, you know, innocent, of course, or anything, but left to there in the Middle East, they really don't bother us unless they're brought over here, which, you know, that's a whole other story that Israel is involved in there. So what are your thoughts?
I love it. Well, you know what? We have a lot of thoughts on that. We've talked about that before and many, many times, and I appreciate your candor, and you're very articulate about that. I appreciate it. Look, I've said this many, many times that Israel is no, in my view, no big friend of America. Okay, I've been pretty blunt about them. They're a frenemy. You know, it's called a frenemy. They act like they're your friend, but they at times they act like they're our enemy. People forget about a lot of Americans don't know their own history. A lot of Americans don't know what's going on. There's the USS Liberty, which our ship was attacked in 1967, where many, many Americans were killed by Israeli jets. There's all kinds of rabbit holes we can go down. I go way back, and I tell people, look, here's the facts, that America, the Middle East used to be, you know, it's going to blow you away, pun intended, but they used to be our allies. When I was young, the Shah of Iran was a big ally of America. Iran at one point was a large ally of ours in the Middle East.
Right.
Since the Shah was deposed, that was, of course, done. Egypt used to be an ally of America under Anwar Sadat. That's, of course, changed. All those countries. And what I find, what I tell people is a lot of the troubles of the world, just in a nutshell, happened when Israel became a state.
Right.
Right? Late 1940s.
Right.
When Israel became an official state, all hell broke loose. Now, it was calm for a while. We had the 50s and the 60s, and things started to gin up in the 70s. Terrorism, OPEC, oil embargoes, all kinds of mischief, all kinds of problems. Now, I'm not saying that Israel is responsible for everything, because they're not. I try to be very fair and objective on the show. But there is a common thread there, and history is very revealing. If you study it long enough, it will reveal to you who the culprits are, who the, you know, where the smoking gun is. And I agree with you. I've said, folks, for years, the Middle East wars are really America. We have sent our sons and daughters who come back in body bags to fight for Israel. All those wars benefit Israel. They do not benefit America. In a very limited way, they have benefited us because, yeah, people will say, well, let's fight them over there, not fight them over here. I get that philosophy. They'll say things like, well, you know, we have billions of dollars in, of course, military contracts, right, that get spent in America. Well, it's all borrowed money. It's not really real. We have a papier-mâché, paper tiger economy. But my thing is, at some point, there will be a reckoning, right? But it's not worth the blood of our sons and daughters. We can – here's my thing, Johnny. We can send tens of thousands of troops to the Middle East at the drop of a hat. There is always money to fight Middle East wars, which benefit Israel and other countries too. But we never have enough money. We never have the troops. We never have the personnel to guard our borders in this country. There's never any money for that. There's never anything for the border. Screw you. We don't care about them. Yeah. So my point is I look at actions, right? And the actions are that they don't give a rat's ass about America with a K. All they care about are leaders, so-called leaders, care about the Middle East. They're being paid off. They're bought and paid for. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are both controlled by Israel and are their lobbyist groups. The biggest donors of each side, Democrats and Republicans, are all Zionists. They're all Jews, billionaires. I mean, the American Israel Pact, they control our Congress. So everybody always wants to know, why do these Republicans never, do anything for us conservatives? Why do they seem like they don't care? They don't. It's just all about Israel. That is the that's who they serve. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
No, you're right. It is.
Get down to it.
I've always said it.
Cruz, Marco Rubio and these types, these neocons, you say one bad thing about Israel, and they will unleash hell on you. But,
that's right.
If there's white men that are struggling to find work in this economy, they don't really care. They're just like, well, get a job. Tough shit. But Israel has universal health care over there, and we give them $4 billion a year.
Right. America gives Israel millions of dollars per day go to little tiny country of Israel. And I'm saying that, look, we have better uses for that money. Israel, look, I'm very objective. Israel's a very rich country. They don't need
they
U.S. taxpayers.
Very well financially. You know how they're doing well financially? They freaking suck us dry.
Right.
The whole world.
We don't need to be giving them money. And in the halls of power, they'll say, well, that's just a drop in the budget in our large trillion-dollar federal budget. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We don't have the money. We're borrowing it. And I don't care if it's $1 million or $4 million a day. It's millions per day. It's still money, and it's still being wired over, and it's still being printed somewhere. It affects us down the road, and I agree with you. Johnny, great call, man. What are your final thoughts to America tonight? I'm sorry, we're talking over each other. Go.
Yeah, so most, I used to be a conservative for a long time, and I am not anymore. I just want to let other fellow patriots, conservatives know, conservatism is an illusion. You were given that position by the globalists. Okay, it's a losing position. They gave it to you to give you thought that you have a say. It's not. It was always designed to lose to the communists. Conservatives have got to just reevaluate things. I will say you have got to watch this documentary. It's probably been pitched before on here. It's called Europa, The Last Battle. It's on BitChute, Odyssey.
Yes.
Those are the main platform. Watch that.
Great video.
See exactly what's going on. And if conservatives do not wake up, we're going to lose. You've got to stop watching Fox News, Newsmax, all these fake alt-right people. If they are not calling out Israel, they are controlled opposition, and they're gatekeepers. You've got to get to the bottom of this rabbit hole.
That's right. That's right. Now, one thing I will say, Johnny and to others, is that I don't hover over any country or any one group on the show because I'm the equal opportunity offender. And sooner or later, trust me, I'll get to them. We're going to offend everybody. And that's the secret of my show. Now a lot of shows will hover over the Jews in Israel 24/7. That's not my style. But they do have a place at the table. We will talk about them. And we'll talk about any country at any time or any ethnicity or any group. I don't care who they are. I don't care what kind of funny hats they wear or who's their God, And so, yeah, I appreciate your candor. And I would agree with you. The thing I would tell you is, too, and that you already know, you're a very learned man, I can tell. Conservatives used to stand for something. They don't conserve a damn thing, people.
No.
They don't conserve the nation. They don't conserve tradition. They don't even try to conserve the border and keep people out. They're a joke. They're a joke. We have rhino talk show hosts say, I'm a proud conservative. I snicker every time I hear that and kind of cringe, to be honest with you. One guy on the radio, his first name is Sean. I'll let you fill in the blanks. He's always talking about how great conservatism is. These people live in a bubble. They think that because Reagan got elected and Trump got elected that somehow they're impervious to defeat,
Yeah, he's got breaking news every night. I don't know if you knew that.
Johnny Utah, thanks for calling the show, man. Appreciate you.
All right, Vaughn. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you again.
Good talking to you too, Johnny. Appreciate it, man. Really good call there. New caller, Johnny Utah. Beautiful state. Welcome anytime, Johnny. Yeah, we have a lot of these people on the radio that say that's breaking news. When I was a kid, Reagan was a conservative, and back then it really meant something. Now people might laugh and say, well, Reagan wasn't that. It's not about – you have to be in the era of every man. JFK said every politician is in his own era. In other words, what we view today as not being that conservative back then, you have to understand the timeline and put yourself back – go back in your Back to the Future car, okay? Don't forget we had the radical 1960s, Watts riots, civil unrest everywhere. We had the disco 1970s, stagflation, inflation, OPEC, oil lines, and this guy Reagan, who used to yell at the press and was coming up as governor of California and twice ran, second time he won the presidency. He was the radical. At the time, a radical right-winger, the media was super liberal back then, probably worse than they are now, and they labeled Reagan a Nazi, and I remember all that stuff back in the day. And then we look back now, and Reagan was kind of tame, right? But back then, in that era, he was the most radical thing since Adolf Hitler, you know? So they tried to kill him. That was a setup, too. I don't believe that was just by – things don't happen, again, in politics by accident. They wanted to knock him off. They almost succeeded. They got an inch away from his heart. He came back, but you'll notice Reagan was never quite the same after being shot. And he was shot, and they almost bumped him off as they did JFK. Any leader that comes up the pike that defies the bankers – or things of that nature, they want to shoot and kill. At first, they'll try to bribe you, or they'll threaten your family, or they'll say, look, if you go our way, you'll be a trillionaire, a billionaire, et cetera. We'll put you on the cover of Time magazine. We'll laud you. We'll lionize you. You'll be the most wonderful thing since sliced bread, right? You'll be the new God, the new political messiah. But then, if you don't go along with it, like JFK wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces, he actually issued our own currency, which is a huge issue, and he went against the Federal Reserve. And, he was trying to get us out of Vietnam. They wanted that war in Indochina. And they don't care about your sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters to the elites are cattle. They are nothing but stupid animals that can be our cannon fodder for the next war. They've got ginned up. And right now it looks like the next war is going to be Iran or something like that. And they want your sons and daughters to fight and die for lots of projects, for lots of agendas. Remember, these people are Luciferians at heart, and they need a blood ritual sacrifice of your family, of your good sons and daughters. So they love blood. They love death and destruction. These people feast on that. And the more the merrier to them, right? So you got to know what you're dealing with. There's all kinds of people in the world with all kinds of nefarious agendas. Unfortunately, the older you get, the more the layers come off your eyes and ears and mind, and you see what's really behind the curtain, right? So I'll say this, that right now we're in uncharted waters in America, and we hope that we can regain something, but I'm not quite sure that we can. But I want you to listen to this regardless, and then we'll get to some more calls.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, There is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, for I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices.
Yes, love that speech. That's JFK's famous secret society speech. I'm a big fan of JFK, always have been. I don't care what they have to say about it. He was shot because he challenged the status quo. As time goes on, people realize that he did a lot of good things for this country. And we had a lot of the deep state killed him back in the day. And they covered it up. It's an inside, another inside job, another false flag event. And they conned you into believing that the idiot Patsy Lee Harvey Oswald shot from his Italian carbine. Those shots. And they got JFK in a triangulation strategy, the CIA event and plot, assassination, which they did all over the world, in my view, and many others. And we're still feeling the effects of that today. We lost our country a long time ago. And I tell folks, our government was hijacked prior to World War II. We have had many things happen to this country. You can go back to 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. Go back to the Civil War, another bloodbath. This country has lost its way, And I tell folks to enjoy the good times as long as you can. Let's make money. Let's prepare. Let's get ready, because we don't know what the hell they've got stored for us in the near future. And these things, folks, won't be 100 years from now. They will be in our lifetimes. They have many more nefarious plots and plans and things they have planned. And I get a lot of intel from a lot of people with some things that are kind of sketchy. I'm not going to announce them. But if I do hear some things that have got some credibility that I feel are vetted, I will announce them. So going with that, let's get back to our fun phone lines here with Kat in Canada. Catwoman, are you there tonight?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Doing good, Catwoman. What's going on in Gotham City, Canada tonight? And America.
And,
what's your thoughts?
Oh, not a whole lot. Same old, same old. People up to the same tricks, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, I did hear some more reports from Saskatchewan, actually.
What's going on?
This whole time we've heard about all the other provinces, but you never really heard what was going on in Saskatchewan. And now all of a sudden this fall, things seem to be cracking down there quite a bit. It seems like that's going to be their groundbreaking takeover. They've got, I just read an article that they have a special task force of retired police officers that are going to be escorting people to isolation centers. People that don't comply, and it's actually quite scary.
It is. And I've told people that these things are going to be going on in your countries first, because you don't have any guns to defend yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, you've got clubs, baseball bats, knives maybe from your kitchen, things of that nature, but the authorities have got automatic weapons, see. And this is the future that our founding fathers saw. And they said, in the future, we need to keep America armed against. See, they saw so much tyranny in the 1700s with the British crown and everything else. We were invaded twice. America was invaded twice by the Redcoats. We beat them back both times. We made America their mass grave, if you will. And we did that with arms. It wasn't with sticks and stones, right? So, unfortunately, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the UK, and other white European countries, put it that way, are the targets of this. And we are the grand prize, America. The whole goal is to take us down. And we know that. We know it's coming. And it's around the corner, actually. It's not too long off. So, unfortunately, you guys are on the front lines right now. What we're doing is when we are going to be getting ready like never before, you know, because this is going to – look, there's an old saying, when the straw breaks the camel's back, right, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So I tell folks, they look at me and I go – I just say, you know, you better be getting ready. It's food, water – guns and ammo that you need, the top four. And five, I always throw in transportation, a good car, a good SUV, a good truck. Can you drive 1,000 miles right now? Do you have enough money? Are your tires good? Can you go off-road? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be thinking along these lines. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, gas prices
are going up too. So Saskatchewan is under a police authority, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
With gas prices going up, though, would you be able to put gas in that vehicle?
I can do it. No, most
that's a concern.
I can't, but they better be. I've been telling folks, save your money.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be doing spending for prepping and then saving for a rainy day. Because even when things happen, I keep telling folks, they're going to accept your cash. Because no one's going to know what the hell's really going on. So your cash is still going to be good. So have some money for a rainy day, you know.
Yeah.
If you had to get out of town fast, can you do it?
You did touch on degeneracy a little bit. the beginning of your show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way to prepare. I look around me and I see grown men that haven't really come out of their teenagerhood. They're still glued to video games and porn, and it's so sad to me to see what's coming, and no one is prepared. Drop your video games, go to the gym, drop excess weight. That goes for women too. Get fit. And we have to be prepared mentally and physically as well. I don't think people
totally
realize
agree.
How hard it's going to be. Yeah. But they,
totally
they
agree
have
with that.
Kind of, yeah, they've conditioned us to be this way, right? So that we're overweight, we're lazy, we're just not fit for what's to come.
Well, that's what they want. They want a fat, dumbed down, unintelligent populace that when
yeah, exactly.
things start to move, they know, one, you're not going to want to move because you're a fat slob watching video games or TV sitcoms from Hollywood. They love that. This is what they want. And you're right. They've conditioned people to do that. Well, they put out some fitness videos every now and then in Hollywood and things like that. The real goal is they just want your money that you'll buy them, that you'll never use them. They love that. And they at the same time, they bombard you with ads that will fatten you up. They want to make you in our military. They want to make our military gay and transgender, which softens up our readiness, which softens up our military. Now, people will disagree with that. I'll get some hate mail from that, but it's true that I'll fire back and I'll tell them, look, they soften up a country before invasion. I'll be pretty blunt. We are being softened mm-hmm. up through media, through food, GMOs, you name it, all kinds of chemicals in our food, our water supply. They want to soften up America and Canada and other countries. And they're just priming the pump. They're getting us ready, conditioned, if you will, predictive programming. You know, they want to get you ready for these things. So when they come, people will say, I saw a movie about the Chinese invasion. And now you'll see movies, I will predict it now, where China will win and conquer America. I believe they're being produced right now. There will be movies that Hollywood will produce that will show a unified front of Wolverines, again, Red Dawn 2 or 3 or 4, whatever the sequel is or prequel, but they'll show China or the North Koreans winning next time. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. And they want that to get that into your mind, to your consciousness internally. These people are like psychotic. This is how they think. And they will tell you, in their spiritual world, they must tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Now, they communicate, not always directly, but they communicate in movies, TV, film, commercials, because they have the media, right? So then they can say, well,
yeah,
we told
absolutely.
You what was going to happen. It's not my fault. You didn't watch these two or three key movies of all the propaganda. We told you flat out about what we're going to do. And they're pretty blatant about it. It's not that hard to figure out. You know, the new James Bond movie, which we'll talk about here in a minute. I just saw that over the weekend, which was it was a good movie. Now, I watch these because I need to keep up on pop culture, not because I want to give money to some Hollywood mogul. But having a radio show, I need to keep up on this stuff. And I got my popcorn and Coke, and I watched it. I caught almost everything I've read in every article I caught watching the movie. The themes, the narratives, the agendas, the context, right? All the hidden meanings. I didn't catch everything, but I caught 90% of it. I'm pretty good. So, and I've learned new things by reading some articles, some critiques about that movie. And also I saw a really good movie that you all should see. It's called The Many Saints of Newark. Now it's the prequel to The Sopranos and Tony Soprano, right? Cool movie.
Oh, okay.
Based in Newark on the East Coast in 1967. So you got the cars, you got the cool music, they were showing the racial strife, the civil unrest, you know, the racial violence, the mob. I mean, you got everything. The mob violence, you got it all. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of a Goodfellas movie. I loved it.
Well, The Godfather,
so,
too. That one had a
yeah.
lot in it. Actually, I haven't seen it all, but The Godfather had a lot of stuff in there, too.
It did. I love The Godfather, and I really like them all. People will say one and two, they are the best, but three isn't bad. And also that movie, Once Upon a Time in America, is also very, very good. There's a lot of really good shows that are out there in movies, but this is what they do. And that's why ever since I've been a little kid, I've been watching this stuff going, you know, TikTok, right? I see themes, I've seen, and then I see events, and I see more themes and narratives, and then more events. And I'm going, these things are all tied together. And there have been many books that have been written about this stuff, from Jim Mars, who's a great author. I've got most of his books here in my library, in my Fuhrer Bunker studio. But it's good stuff. It's interesting, and unfortunately, we live in scary times. But the hope, I always say there's always hope. The hope is that we're going to survive. We will.
Yeah, we will.
I'll tell you why. We're going to survive because you're listening to the Von Wehan Show, and I mean that sincerely, not just as a marketing guy, because this show is mentally preparing people, speaking the truth. I have no big fat cat corporate sponsors. No one's given me millions of dollars to tell you a bunch of crap, unlike other shows who get millions of dollars and they're told to they are the controlled opposition radio shows, I call them. Well, they're okay. They'll go out there on the limb. You'll learn a few things, but they're not telling you anything as directly as I am because they're afraid to. They're mm-hmm. told not to. And you can listen to 3 hours of a corporate radio show, and it's kind of entertaining, but you'll notice that callers are hardly ever on those shows. It's 3 hours of the host babbling. After 3 hours, ask yourself, what new thing did I learn? The answer is absolutely nothing. I heard several mm-hmm. shows, and I go, what did they talk about in the 3 hours? God, man, it's like Mitch McConnell talking points. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Marco Rubio talking points. I mean, RNC talking points. Okay, but we've heard them a million times. In other words, they're a broken record. They have no new material. They're afraid to say what's really on their mind, even if it is on their mind. I'm not quite so sure it is. I think they just read off a teleprompter like they do on TV, on their big million-dollar budget TV shows. You know?
Oh, absolutely. It's,
and they're giving money.
Project Mockingbird, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
CIA again.
Yep.
Controlled mm-hmm. opposition. Unless you feel you have an outlet, and you really have no outlet, except my show and maybe a couple others, and there's a lot of good information on the internet, but you got to dig for this stuff, folks, because they're not going to give it to you. They want you to not be prepared. They want you to be ready for the slaughter. They want you ready to do what they say. They want a compliant population that will obey. Now, they've already said that they want population down to 500 million to 1 billion max in the world. The Rothschilds have already said they want 500 million people of Asian descent, namely Chinese and Japanese. Why? Because they have thousands of years of a regimented economy and government, and they are obedient slaves in those countries. And they are, North Korea too, right? And the other 500 million will be basically leftist Democrats, Caucasians, a few Hispanics, a few Afrikaners thrown in for good measure. But they only want the type of people who will be obedient. If they tell you to go take 10 booster shots for COVID, they expect you to take 10 booster shots. And if you don't, they're going to embed it with a chip. In the New World Order, well, they'll just push a button and you die. They don't want to pay for your retirement. They don't want to pay your Social Security for 30, 40 years. We're living in a weird way in some of the craziest but the best of times. And I tell folks that, they look at me with a funny look. I go, right now, in the last, most of our lifetimes, there hasn't been a draft to go fight a war. We've been able to live pretty good in these countries, right? But now these people are all getting a lot older, and they want to see their plans go to fruition in action. It's kind of like we're on the movie set, and the Hollywood big fat cat director with the cigar goes, lights, camera, action. And we're on the movie set, and this is the big movie. Enjoy the show, America and Canada. It's only going to get crazier in my book. Kat, what are your final thoughts here tonight?
You know what? I honestly, sometimes I get discouraged, but we can't. You know what I honestly think? I think they're afraid. Because the white race, we have a rich history going way back. We have always stood up against it. And they are afraid of that. If we were to unite and against it, they're done. Right?
We have
to remember that we need to put aside any squabbles we have over religion or petty matters, and we need to unite against it. I'm actually definitely going to be listening in. Tomorrow I'm going to do the playback, because I think his name was Johnny. He had some really good points, and I think that's definitely worth re-listening to and looking into, definitely.
Absolutely. And all of our callers, look, I have the smartest callers in talk radio by far. I've heard other callers
from
other shows. All my callers are. You are brilliant. You are one of the people up there in Canada who can see through the smokescreen. And there's not many of you up there in Canada, right? So.
No, there really isn't.
I know. Catwoman, thanks so much for calling the show. Appreciate you tonight.
Yes, thanks a lot. Good night, Vaughn.
Good night. Thank you, Catwoman. Love it. That was another great, great call there. We have really good callers here on this show, no doubt about it. Well, I want to get to something here and that I think that you all would enjoy. The James Bond movie, the newest James Bond movie, is Hollywood showing us what global elites are up to. And, it sounds a little bit like this. Love that. To the ordinary COVID-jabbed corporate news-consuming American, the new James Bond film, they say, is an action-packed, fitting end to Daniel Craig's tenure as the womanizing 00 British spy agent. I will ruin the last part of the movie for you. James Bond gets blown up in the movie, but you have to watch the whole movie to see how they do it. That's all I'll say about that. The keen observers of the global effort currently underway to eradicate human rights and usher in a worldwide dictatorship, which is their fallen angel plans. The film is yet another instance of Hollywood showing us what sinister elites are doing before our very eyes as they hide in plain sight and laugh at us for not picking up on it. Without giving away too many details, the movie No Time to Die is about a bad guy who creates a bioweapon, sound familiar, that can attack people based on their genetic and ethnic composition. People that become infected acquire nanorobots in their bloodstream. They in turn become carriers of the virus, which they can then spread to others that they come in contact with all over their town, state, and the world. Aside from being pretty much like every other Bond film, the plot of this one follows almost to a T what's happening in our world today with COVID-19, even though the movie was shot before COVID was a thing, allegedly, of course. Just like in the movie, people are being injected with unknown ingredients that are causing major adverse reactions. That's just fancy talk for bad side effects. They're then getting booster shots that some researchers believe allow them to infect others, and that's true, and then can increase their chances of dying later on due to a compromised immune system, which is plausible deniability for the U.S. government and other governments around the world. You can then point and say, well, it's no indication of our vaccine. They died of something else. Hollywood has been grooming the U.S. and global public for decades with its movies, or should I say indoctrination propaganda films. We talked about this before on my show. It's called predictive programming. Dystopian films like Contagion, I Am Legend, Perfect Sense, even this latest James Bond movie and many, many others have similar virus-themed storylines that mirror the events that are going on around us today. It's our current reality. Marvel comics and other superhero movies are also a clever Hollywood scheme to get normal people to forget about the real, spiritually edifying heroes of history. Missionaries, saints, martyrs, maybe Jesus, maybe even warriors of our ancient past. They want you instead to develop a cult-like following of Hollywood leftists, militant, A-list, quote, A-list celebrities. They're F-list to me. There's a telling scene about three-quarters of the way through the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, when Bond comes face-to-face with the bad guy. They have a brief but highly enlightening conversation about why he's doing what to the world, etc. Bond tries to convince him of his evil ways, but he responds by saying, and of course I'm going to paraphrase here, that most people want to be told what to do and to let things happen to them. And that men like him, the evil ones, are supposed to then create that reality for them. To me, that conversation was the most telling part of the movie, not just of this film, but of what Hollywood is generally up to these days. They work in concert with the deep state and others to telegraph to a blind public what's going to happen to them all. Remember in the 1950s, well, that was before all of our time. I am Generation X, by the way. But prior to my birth, many years, there was the people in 1950s who had the funny movie glasses to watch 3D movies. It's almost like we're wearing, you know, movie shades, if you will, or some 3D shades, and we can't really see what's coming at us until you put them on. It also reminds me of that movie that's out there that you see always in the memes on the internet. But really what's going on is a large-scale desensitization program so that when society truly crashes and burns, everyone will be so stunned, so put off, that they won't be able to, quote, fight back. And that, my friends, is what they want. That kind of scenario. People talk a big game now, but I always tell them reality is always different on the ground. Everyone will be saying how this is just like the movies, right? Without realizing that we're in the movie, that we were being groomed all along to get to that point in time and history, of time and space, if you will. My advice to you all, and my advice that I take my own advice to heart, take Hollywood at its word. When you see these things, prepare now for what they keep telling us over and over and over in books, movies, documentaries, and all kinds of music videos, etc. They're telling us what's going to happen. So when you see these things, when you see these producers and directors and writers who are all part of a Hollywood cabal put the stuff out, pay attention to it. Don't just easily dismiss it as, you know, it's really what they have planned for all of us. And with that, let's try to get to some more calls here. And let's get to Lincoln in flyover country. We have more calls after that. How's it going, Lincoln? Are you there, man?
What's going on, brother? How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, brother. Heard your friend John in Utah tonight. Wonderful. Doing
yeah,
good,
Johnny's
man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Johnny's a buddy of mine. Kat's a buddy of mine. We're all kind of in the same group with the same mindset. And I just, I'm not trying to overwhelm your show with certain, you know, I just recommended your show that they listen to. And if they want to call in, they're, you know, I encourage that to get their thoughts out there. But yeah, that's two people I've gotten to know very well on the internet, on Telegram. And yeah, great people, like great people. Salt of the earth, fantastic people.
Good, man. Yeah, I mean, look, word of mouth advertising is the best. And really, we're just trying to get the information out to people and to create an audience, to create like-minded people. We, you know, I've told people pretty much, they go, I don't understand why your show isn't on TV or this. It's, look, it's not about that, really. I go, we're never going to get there, probably. And I'll tell you why, not to be fatalist. But the powers that be don't want this show on a mass level. They will never put the show on prime time or even a late night show or anything of that nature, even on the radio. No one's knocking on my door to buy the rights to the show. No one's giving me $1 million. And even if they would, I would, I would try to expand the show and get the word out. They don't want to get this information out. And that's why they marginalize a lot of things. They try to marginalize all of us because we're all in this together, man. But, you know, we'll keep broadcasting. And I've always told you guys, if the show ever goes dark, it's not because of me. It's because they pulled the plug on it. And we're going to keep broadcasting and keep talking about these things because the hope is that we're going to make it, man. And I'm glad that you got your – I got to join your group actually on Telegram and start chiming in, you know. Be fun.
Yeah, man, I thought you were going to join that, man. It's literally just one word. It's like at base truth. Like base, BASED, truth. Yeah, come on in there, man. We have nightly voice chats. We all just talk about things. We all, you know, get along and just discuss certain things. There's debates that happen. It's a great channel, man. It's really fantastic. I enjoy it a lot. I spend probably too much time there. As far as the James Bond thing, man, you were talking about the James Bond movie. Did you see that the next James Bond movie that's coming out is going to be James Bond is going to be replaced by a black woman?
That's right. And they were priming the pump for that during the show. It's going to be a black woman. I told folks, this is the last James Bond movie I ever see. I won't see one with a black James Bond woman. No. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's all about the culture war. It's a war on the white males in America. We've talked about this. It's a very aggressive agenda. They're trying to demonize the white male, and they're attacking us through movies, films. I mean, it's the ultimate insult to James Bond franchise to say the next James Bond will be a black female. And I saw her, and she's a terrible actress. I was not. First of all, it's the most stupid part of the movie. But I want to see one last movie with, this is Daniel Craig, where he got blown up. And it was a pretty good movie, except for that part of it. But, again, I saw it to go, yeah, this is what they got planned, multiculturalism to the extreme level. And this is the last one I ever pay money to see, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is the agenda, and we both know where that agenda comes from. I'm not going to just blast it on your show. We both know where that agenda comes from, but it's about replacing white with black, replacing masculinity with these, you know, with women or weak cucks. Their agenda, their thing is so on such a crazy high level. It's all subliminal. Like Kat said, it's you know, Hollywood's part of Operation Mockingbird. Hollywood is part of that. It's about training us to a certain agenda, which is our, you and I, as white men, it's our suicide.
That's right. And look, there's a lot of us still alive in around the world in this country. They don't have to win. And I tell folks, don't think that these people at the elite level all get along. They don't. They have lots of infighting. They can't agree on a lot of things. Every now and then it leaks out in their own press corps. And we have patriots all over the place. I mean, we have pilots who are bucking the system. We've got patriots still in the military who are bucking the system. There's a lot more power that we have collectively. We're just not organized yet. And that's going to come in time, too. I tell folks, you just wait. The time, what you need to do now is get ready, prepare, you know, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. Get your house in order, be ready, and be, you know, because we don't know what they're going to be doing. But the war continues against us, and it's an ancient war, as you and I have talked about. And that's okay, because this is nothing new to us. The white European man is the warrior of Europe, the conquerors, they were the adventurers.
Absolutely.
They conquered, and they kicked the ass out of anybody that came against them. When they are attacked, they fight viciously and ferociously. We kicked the Muslims out of Europe. We then went down to the Middle East, sacked and burned it. We burned their Jerusalem. We took it all over. You can look at history. We came to America. The Indian tribes were already warring over here. We just simply came in and we took the whole damn thing over. So I would say history is on our side.
Yeah, but speaking of
because we're vicious
that,
in a fight.
Speaking of the American Indians, I don't refer to them as Native Americans because Native implies first, and I don't think they were the first ones here. I don't believe in magic dirt. They just grew up, that they just sprouted out of the ground and were always just here. Yeah, on that note, like a lot of people, like these people that celebrate Indigenous People Day, like, you know, things like that, I don't think most of them realize that when Europeans got here, they were literally warring with one another, enslaving one another, like literally like sacrificing
one another
to sun gods for a magic crop to grow. And stupid shit like that.
Right.
And we tried to spread a culture and our ways to them. And I don't get the whole celebration and worship of quote unquote Native Americans. Like they just grew out of the ground here, and we're just these peaceful pipe smoking people that like to dance, and that's all. They were vicious savages that would literally sacrifice each other to their god for a good crop.
That's right. And, in fact, I was a Native American, and so were you, Lincoln, because we were all born here, too. I'm a Native. I was born in America. So I use that term loosely. It doesn't mean that they're above us, but look, we kicked their ass, to be blunt. The white conquerors came in. We saw warring factions. And history will tell you that whenever there's civil war among any groups or Indian tribes, that's when there was attacked. History, again, proved itself right. The tribes were warring. As you said, they enslaved each other. They were fighting against each other. And that's always when you're attacked. And we were the ones that came in, and we pushed them back. Now, we tried to make peace with them, but they should be kissing their lucky stars on one hand because they're on reservations. They haven't had to work. They have casinos. You and I can't start a casino, but they can because they're Indian, right?
Right.
And the thing is, they'll make the white man jump through a ton of hoops to get anything. But if you're Indian, you can have a casino. So they have something that we can't get. And I remind them of that. So to me, just a classic observation. Those tribes have got rampant alcoholism. They have a lot of abuse on those reservations. Yep. Now, I have a friend and a couple of friends that really two or three, actually, that talk to the Hopi up in northern Arizona. I have some respect for them because they talk a lot about what we talk about, you know, trends and narratives and agendas, and they have some very interesting intel as well. Look, there's good and bad everywhere, but the Indian chiefs and the people like that know what's going on, the ones that are the Hopi, at least. They're up in the northern part of Arizona, and they talk openly about the U.N. invasion, Chinese invasion that's being planned. They are in the loop on a lot of things. You'd be quite surprised how they mirror a lot of what we talk about on this radio show. So it's pretty interesting, actually. Now, I can't say, yeah, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to bring up, too, you were talking about 9/11 earlier, and I guess this is one thing, this is another. Like, I've given you many examples of where Trump lost me. But another thing, as far as the 9/11 thing, you know, there's videos floating around of Trump talking about his good friend, Larry Silverstein, that
yes.
bought the World Trade Centers, like literally a week
right.
before those attacks happened, and took out huge insurance policies on those and made a ton of
sure.
money from 9/11. Larry Silverstein.
Yes, he did. Yep.
That
As if he
Trump
knew what was going to happen. Sure.
Right.
Sure. Now, you have to understand to give – I will, of course, run some interference for Trump here, and you're spot on. Trump had to be friends with anybody who was a big shot in New York. Don't forget, he was a New York guy, a contractor, et cetera. But the one thing I tell folks is, isn't it funny how there's thousands of contractors in New York, but only Trump gets the press? Now, think about that one. We don't have 10 or 20 other contractors who get all the press that Trump has historically gotten. Now, I like Trump.
Right.
I voted for him. He's not perfect. I don't like everything he's done. I do not like his what he's talking about, the COVID jab. He needs to shut up about that. I
Man,
don't like
really
his Operation Warp
Speed.
It drives me nuts, too. I
that's
don't agree
really
with you.
Crazy.
You don't think it? That's where Trump turns me off. Because to me, Trump is not the Messiah. I've seen this a million times. But he was the best thing going in 2016. Now, people will say he's controlled opposition. He might be. But I tell people, at least he slowed things down in the sense that we had a great economy and we had more time to get prepped and ready. Had Hillary gotten in, well, I think America could have been nuked because she wanted war with all these countries. A woman like her, who's a witch and just a shrew. I mean, Trump to me kept relative peace and stability. He was not perfect, but we had a raging economy. And now we're seeing the Biden economy, and it's terrible. It shambles, right? So I tell folks, if Trump ran again,
well,
I will vote for him. But, you'll never get a perfect presidential candidate anyway. What are your final thoughts, man?
Well, it's hard for me to say that he kept peace whenever, like, Antifa and Black Lives Matter were, like, burning down cities and shit like that under Trump's presidency, and he never actually declared Antifa a terrorist organization. So I'm not going to really agree that he kept things peaceful. But, yes, I understand what you're saying.
I meant internationally. Yeah, I meant internationally.
Well,
we were not – Yeah, you know, he inherited all the Obama wars. So, like Afghanistan, things like that. But yeah, the local riots and stuff, that's a whole different issue.
Other than bombing Syria, I agree with you that he kept us out of international wars, yes. And, yeah, I can't argue that point at all. I think he did a good job there. I didn't like the fact that he bombed Syria. But other than that, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, look, every president has to bomb somebody. I mean, it goes with the territory. It's almost like if you don't bomb a country, they don't think you're tough. You know, and really, it's kind of like the guy, you got to show the world that you're capable of doing it. I know it sounds kind of sick, but in the world stage, other countries look at that. Hey, Lincoln, thanks for calling the show, man. Appreciate you, bud.
Hey, have a good night, brother.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Hell victory, Lincoln. Appreciate you, man. We got Lincoln on the show here. Let's get to some more calls. We'll try to get to some more here. Let's get to, I think we have Brett the Surfer on the line here. I think, if he's still there. Gotcha, man.
Right.
Well, we had Paul the Gladiator on, but he fell off the line. So we were going to get to him, but you're up, man. How are you tonight?
Oh, great. Great, Bon. Love that song. Yeah, just
a little surf music there.
Listen to your show there, and it's we've got some serious issues with the supply chain coming here. I'm starting to stock up on items, you know. Laundry soap and different things like that.
I went grocery shopping this week, man. I stocked up. Hell yeah. Damn right.
Smart thing to do, you know. They're starting to talk about it in the media, and almost like they're warning us, you know. They're saying, get your stuff for Christmas.
They are. In my show, we were talking about this a full month or two before the mass media picked up on it. We're, again, way ahead of the curve. We've been talking about the stuff for weeks. The ships being off the coast, the ships not being unloaded, supply chain disruptions. Oh, yeah, on my show, we've been talking about this. Now, the mainstream media finally picks up the story. And by the time they get to it, I mean, I already, you know, I bought a few hundred bucks extra of groceries, man. I'm not messing around.
Yeah, and survival
get it
food,
while
you,
you still
know.
Can.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah. That's it's you got to be prepared, and I don't know what's I don't know. It's just we're in interesting times, you know. But it's really, especially now, the writing's on the wall, you know, that, you know, it's interesting how gas prices are creeping up and, you know, that they're basically just warning us, you know, to get that stuff and be prepared. And that's what I'm doing. And
they
I think it'd be great advice for anybody else, you know, everybody else. But
I agree.
I don't know what we're going to do when shelves are, I mean, it could happen pretty quick too. I think it takes like 3 days without in a grocery in a city for a store to start running out of stuff. You know, I've heard that before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I tell folks that I've seen two situations here in the Valley that resonate with me. One of them is in Albertsons here in the North Valley was going out of business about 4 or 5 years ago. And they had a big sign going out of business. I won't tell you where, but it's just somewhere in the North Valley, generally speaking, of Phoenix, Scottsdale. And I walked in and I saw it stocked wall to wall. I said, well, man, I'm going to come back here on Saturday and I'm going to stock up because they had like big, you know, banners, 40% off meat, you know, and 70% off canned goods. And it was amazing. But there were so many people there.
Wow.
I thought, I'll come back when I have more time. Right. Okay. Now, hear me out. I come back a couple days later because it was during the work week. And when I got there on Saturday, when I walked in the store, guess what I saw?
What was that?
Absolutely nothing. That store, Big Albertsons, like piranhas, dude, like biblical locusts. Every damn thing was gone but one aisle. And I swear to God, they had a rack of sunglasses that hadn't sold yet, all the crappy ones that nobody wants, right? They keep spinning around. They were on the floor. They had about, I say literally 10 canned goods. They had a box of old crappy wheat pasta and some weird off-brand things that I never even knew even existed. And some weird, but all the meat was gone. All the good stuff was gone. All the good canned goods, the soups, the vegetables, all the meats were gone. All the cereal was gone. All the grain was gone, all the pasta, et cetera. Now, that was when I started my radio show, and I went, that was a real eye-opener for me. How fast people can empty out a grocery store, a big grocery store, a big Albertsons. I mean, they took even the charcoal for the gas, you know, for your charcoal. Everything, all the supplies was gone. Now, I'll tell you what, now, fast forward to COVID. Happened to me again when COVID hit, you know, March of last year. I actually went to, I heard there was runs at the grocery stores. Well, being a radio guy, I need to see it for myself. So I went after work one a day to a few to two or three grocery stores in the North Valley. And I saw hundreds of people, lines out the door, mayhem, hysteria hit, panic sets in, Brett, panic.
Yeah.
Hysteria.
Yep.
I just wanted to notice it, to be a witness to it. I walked into several stores, empty shelves, everything, again, wiped out. People had two or three carts. Each kid was holding a cart, and they were all in line for hours. And the line roped around the store inside a big grocery store, like twice, and then it ran out in the parking lot deep. Carts filled to the brim. Everyone's using their credit card to buy groceries, and they thought it was the end. The end of the end of the end. Okay. Now, I've seen that.
Wow.
And I drove around on purpose to witness that. So I want to see it with my own eyes. I'm telling you, when things hit the fan, people will go berserk, and they panic.
Mm-hmm.
It's called panic buying. And it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
That's why you want to get your supplies of everything you need beforehand. You want to have things in your home ready to go. and make room. That's what I've made extra room for more food, you know, things that not that are non-perishable, of course. Buy your cereal boxes and pop are awesome. They'll last forever. Beef jerky lasts forever. Many canned goods will last up to 5 years or longer, depends, you know. But a lot of things, you know, biscuit mix, pancake mix, things that don't spoil, you know. Buy it up in bulk. Buy those
black
meats
beans
that you see during the holidays, the salami, the summer sausage. Throw those in the fridge.
Yeah.
Stock it up now. And that's what
it's
I suggest to people.
Gotta,
I've been saying
be
that for years. Well,
yeah,
you're not going to look.
Know.
We get our food from the store, and it just comes to mind that if there's nothing in the store, you're screwed, man. You'll be driving around,
you know,
fighting traffic, fighting people. Then they get violent. There were fights that broke out during COVID here in the valley. Fist fights. People in line, you cut in front of me. No, I didn't. And there's arguments, right? And there's already, and next time, guns are going to be pulled on people, handguns. But you better let us take your spot. And there's not going to be any store security. No one's going to care. I fully expect people to get shot. Hate to say that, but it's just what
it's
I see happening.
Scary. It's a scary thing.
I mean,
if that,
it is.
I hope not.
People are going to be, look, they're all ginned up. They scared half the country to death with the COVID thing. And so if we have a food shortage or a supply chain disruption, and we're having one now, but I mean, if this thing has staying power, you know, boy, you better be bulking up that garage, attic, and a spare bedroom, lots of food. And I mean, you know, that's just what I would do. That's what I recommend. And I take my own advice because I do the same thing. So I want to get in now while my dollar can spend something, while I've got the time, and while it's called stealth accumulation. When no one's looking, Von Wehunt's buying. And storing and prepping. When no one's looking,
that's
when you do it.
Yeah.
You do it now when
that's
no one's looking.
To get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now's the time.
It's wise advice.
Everything. Right. Brett, thank you, man. Have a good night, buddy.
All right, Von.
You take care out there, man.
All
right, you got it, Brett. Thanks, buddy. Brett the Surfer, folks. Surfing off the coast of America, I know. And last but not least, we lost a few callers. We'll get Paul the Gladiator on the next show for sure. He dropped off. We had a lot of calls tonight. Let's get to Irish Pirate, our tech wizard, for a few minutes here. Mr. Pirate, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm kicking, Von Wehunt.
I know you are.
Okay. Wow. As you noticed, I was a little late running in, getting on to the show because I was talking with one of the teachers at the school where I'm going to be teaching chess very soon. And that teacher was unaware that I was coming in. Or ready to come in. So I said, what about it? And so one of the things that really shocked me, because my big question is, what's happening at the schools to tie these things down? I hadn't quite figured it out because I know they haven't the PBIS thing, and they haven't found a way to be able to get the lunch lady, the janitor, and all those other people involved like they wanted to. And people are starting to It was past me as to how they would take control of it. Now I realize they're using COVID. And you're thinking, well, they're having schools again and nobody's masking and all the kids are in the classroom. How can they possibly do something like that? Well, the answer is, remember what it is they're interested in from you. They want you traced. That's what they want.
Right.
Is that they want everybody all over the world traced medically, and then they can turn around and use that to be able to institute anything from so-called carbon credits to, you know, maybe worldwide blockchain currency. So then it struck me when the teacher said, oh, by the way, I don't have my usual 25, 28 kids. There will be 13 in the classroom when you come in. And I thought, how is that possible? You know, how'd you get so lucky that you don't have to teach anybody? And the response was, Thank you. The response was that the children are, anytime they cough on the nurse or any little thing happens to them, they suddenly are quarantined. And I had no idea this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this is not the only school district where this is happening. They probably all are, and I'll have to look into this. So there's so many children that are not in the classroom. I don't know. For example, let me give you the thing that blows my mind is it used to be that with No Child Left Behind and all these other got to have the child in the classroom so he can brainwash them kind of attitude, they were getting paid by the head. Well, if you're suddenly going to quarantine them and by just pulling some sort of a stunt, the child can claim they're sick or something and not have to go to school for a while, well, that kind of leaves an opportunity not to get paid. Unless, just like they've done with being able to buy off businesses to turn around and force people to take jabs, it's possible that they found a way that says that if you're actually tracing students, that you're somehow going to get paid. But I don't know how they'd get paid. I just found this out within the last hour. So that'll be one of the things I'm going to be looking into, is how do the schools survive when suddenly they don't, you know, in this case, one classroom's got half the population in.
And, right. I don't know, man. It's
ordinarily
crazy.
That would make no, you know, over the last 20 years, that would make no sense. But there's something tricky going on there where they're leading the point to where, and it's pretty obvious, in order to get back into the classroom, you have to currently, since you're right now, according to Arizona law, you're not allowed to demand masks or demand, you know, jabs and things like that. So what they're doing is they're going to say, oh, well, you have to wait a mandatory 10 days for the thing to suddenly go away. Or you have to get tested. And I'm going like, well, who does the test? Because we already know you can't trust any of the tests. And last week I told you there's a brand new one, and it combines three different illnesses, and it just gives you one positive. That's false.
Right.
If any of them are COVID-19, because there's no sample to test it with. And so, and for that matter, any coronavirus, since they all mutate, right? I mean, that would also leave
they
that
do.
Out, too. So
right. It's
definitely a fake, arbitrary political test where they literally just give it off to some county agency, and then the county is notified how many positives they need to scare people this week, and that's what they're going to do. And so if they've got all the children or at least a large amount of children involved with this, now that's getting pretty serious. I mean, this is cutting edge because I wanted to come in and be able to make a difference. And the answer is it sounds like what they're going to try to do is actually, since they can't get the school from the inside, they're going to take it over from the outside using medical tyranny. So I'll have to think about it. I think the best thing I could do, as a fantastic teacher who's been teaching children for 35 years until he stepped foot in one more classroom, then it'll be number 36 year. It'll be like this. Make the kids want to come to school. That would be interesting. I think I could do that. I might.
Do that research and then come back on the show and report to us and let us know, man. Hey, appreciate the phone call tonight. Thank you so much.
I will definitely love giving you reports from the inside of a school that nobody else can get into because they run their own clearances and everything now. So I got that.
We want to get that.
So I'm going to be able to go places where other people cannot go.
But that's what we want on this
like
show.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah,
Irish. Thank you, man.
Handle. I'm going to steal it. Thank you, sir. Love the time.
Hell yeah. Love the time. Thank you, Irish. Irish Pirate, folks. We're always up against the clock on this show. We missed a few callers tonight, but regardless, we will get them on the next show. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum wrote the book COVID-19, The Great Reset. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's completely real. And in his book, as I have read excerpts before, he says this, and I quote, At least 4 billion useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal, rapid-acting diseases, i.e. COVID, and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elite, that's you and me, starting with the white populations of Western Europe and North America and then spreading to other races. The populations of Canada, Western Europe, and the United States will be decimated, his own words now, more rapidly than on other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level, what did I tell you, of 1 billion people, of which 500 million will consist of Chinese and Japanese races. Selected, he writes, Klaus Schwab, because they are people who have been regimented for centuries and are trained to be obedient servants. Euthanasia for the terminally ill and the aged should be compulsory. Compulsory, he says. No cities shall be larger than a predetermined number as described in the work of clergy. Essential workers will be moved to other cities if the one they are in becomes overpopulated. Other non-essential workers will be chosen at random and sent to underpopulated cities of the government and the states, choosing to fill quotas. In other words, I'll boil it down for you, America. They want no freedom and liberty for you and no freedom of your movement, no freedom of your mind. This is the what they want. We can beat them back. This show is leading the charge. We can beat them back. We can have our country back. We need to prepare. There's a lot of nefarious things I believe that are coming our way, and I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. So in the meantime, they keep telling us, and we prepare accordingly. There is hope. There's always a silver lining. There's always light in the darkest of night. And the hope is that we on this show are going to survive. We are going to be well. We are going to ride out the storm far, far better than other people who are ill-prepared, who are not educated, who believe that all this is just hockey puck and fantasy land and Hollywood. But it's real. It's going to be in, I believe, the world's face here pretty soon. With that, we thank you all for being here tonight. Keep the faith, folks. Chin up. Be positive. This show is about hope at our core essence. This is not a show on doom and gloom, but we will talk about what the elites say and what they have planned for America and Western Europe and the rest of the world. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We will end the show with a classic song by Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. God bless you all and be back for next Thursday night. And don't forget, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show in early November, the first Tuesday of every month. We love you all. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Mr. America, walk on by your schools that do not teach. Mr. America, walk on by the minds that won't be reached. Mr. America, try to hide the emptiness that's you inside. But once you find that the way you lied and all the corny tricks you tried will not forestall the rising tide.